Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another day of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We've been talking this week about faith, about following the footsteps of Abraham, our father in faith, who lived as a nomad of faith. And his story is astounding, and it's so inspiring, but it's meant to teach us about what pleases God. Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Abraham is the quintessential Old Testament example for us of what that faith is meant to look like. What is the faith that pleases God? What does that faith look like? And we see it in Abraham. And it's not just an intellectual faith, but it really is, as we underlined many times over the last couple of days, it's the radical abandonment of one's life in trust totally to God. It's faith that perceives and hears God's call and believes and says yes to God. By God's grace, that faith happens. So if you're listening and say, I'm not there yet, I haven't responded, or I've never been baptized, I'd say, pray and ask God. Say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. Begin to seek and to search and to pursue God. Or maybe you have some measure of faith, but you haven't fully engaged it. You haven't known whether it's even possible, or you've been distracted and haven't pursued it. Now's the right time to begin to seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's a beautiful passage in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus talks about the central place where he helps align us toward our purpose. It helps us understand how we can come into a relationship with the Lord in which we'll receive his provision. And he reminds us that that depends upon putting first things first. And so Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I mean, he had just finished talking to his disciples about not having anxiety about what you don't have, or having constant worry about your life. In reading what Jesus said, sometimes my first inclination is to say, Lord, really? Have no anxiety about anything? It seems like anxiety is a constant for human beings. And there's a reason for that. It's because we're living in a fallen world. The power of the world, which is always trying to draw us away from God, is at work. The devil's at work. We're fighting with the reality of death itself. There's the work of sin in us, and sin reigns through death, and death can cloud our mind, the whole battle, the human battle against death. And so it can cause us to be worrisome and anxious. And we live in a culture, a consumerist culture, that commercials are constantly trying to tell us what we need, pointing out what we don't have, getting after our inadequacies or our lack of security and identity. And it disrupts us and makes life destabilizing, and it can create anxiety because you need to have more, 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 more is what's always brought to us, right? But Jesus says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, as we talked about this week about the promises of God and Abraham's disposition toward God is saying he puts complete assurance into the words of God that he receives because he knows God is absolutely trustworthy and that God is able to bring about and to fulfill all of his promises. And he's trustworthy, he's true, he's great, he's powerful, he's good. And much of that in the broader culture is either ignored today or it's countered, is being pushed in the culture that God doesn't exist, or if he does, God's not great, the rest of it. But Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about anything. For he says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When I was a 20-year-old in the dorms back at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul many moons ago, I was learning to read the Bible on a daily basis. Through a lot of encouragement and just being with others who were more regular readers of the Bible and got so much out of it, I started reading it each day, bit by bit, trying to learn Lectio Divina, learning how to just sort of hear the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to make that Word come alive in my life. I remember one morning, I've shared this a few times over the years, I came across this passage, and when I got to this line where it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, It's as though that line jumped off the page and it went right to my heart. I didn't hear the Lord speak audibly to me, but I felt in a very significant way like this word is for me. And I felt like the Lord said, Peter, if you take this promise, if you take this word, if you trust me and you put me first and you seek my kingdom and you seek my righteousness first at the center of your life, I promise you all other things will be added to you. This, you can take this to the bank. So I remember I wrote it down in my journal and it became kind of a life passage for me that I've had to go back to many, many times because as in the story of Abraham and the others in chapter 11 from the letter to the Hebrews that we talked about, they're given a calling and a promise, and God will give indications, he'll give confirming signs, but then it'll be tested. And they'll run into circumstances that are going to make it seem like the promise is impossible, and they're never going to reach it, and that somehow maybe it was their imagination, or maybe it's not even real, right? That God never spoke to them, and all the testing happens. And the circumstances of life can become extremely difficult, which we see throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, particularly the apostles, Paul, Peter, others. The resistance, the opposition, the hardships, the rejection. And so our tendency is to, as the pagans do, is to measure life by the experience of the circumstances that we're in. The apostles, disciples, the saints are able to, by God's grace and radically seeking God first and putting the focus on seeking the kingdom of God, that means seeking the king and following him, and then seeking his righteousness, that is living in his holiness and the way of life that he's called us to live. He wants to put us right. He wants us to be in right relationship with the Father. He wants to teach us how to live as loving sons and daughters of God. And to be faithful to that by walking in the commandments and responding to his love. He's saying, if you put that at the center, remember what Jesus said about the first commandment? He said, the first commandment is the first and the greatest. What is the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first thing that aligns our life, that puts our life on its right course. Because we were made by God, we were made for God, we were made to live according to God's purpose, and it's the only way we can find fulfillment in life. And in the end, we might have in this life a whole set of things that we've set out for ourselves that we have a certain belief that will lead us to happiness, the acquisition of many things, the achievement of many things. And we could have, by virtue of we happen to be fortunate enough to have good health, gifted intellectually, gifted in terms of personality, very little physical hardships, failures in this world, things all seem to go right for us, and we achieve a lot, and we have a lot, acquire a lot, we feel good about ourselves, all that sort of thing. That can happen. It does happen. But the truth is, and this is what Jesus is communicating to us in so many ways, if we die in that condition, having not paid attention to the first commandment, to give to God what belongs to God, to seek radically to be in relationship with your Creator, we will die a failure because we haven't fulfilled the very purpose for which we have been made. And we've invested ourselves in things that may be good, but they're secondary goods. They're not the primary good. They don't correspond to what's first for the kind of creatures we are. We're made in God's image and likeness, and the whole purpose for our existence is to live in relationship to God and to be everything he made us to be. And the nature of our relationship with God is one of submission, of humility, of seeking and finding, and being in relationship with him. So Jesus is telling us, seek first. And there's a promise here. All these things will be given to you as well. Abraham was given a promise, but he had to fulfill the calling God had given him to obey the commandments of God to be able to enter into ultimately not just the promise here on earth. Now, he didn't see in his life the fulfillment of that future earthly purpose for the people of God, but he saw much But what he really reached was his ultimate destiny, and that is being in heaven, which is his home, and that's where we're all going. Back in this, was it the 70s or 80s? This very popular book came out called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And what do successful people have? What are the characteristics that they live by? You know, what are their priorities and values? And one of them is begin with the end in view, that's really wise. Well, it's good to begin with different projects and things that we're building here on earth to begin with the end. What's the goal? What am I after? And then build back from that. But true wisdom and a meaningful life ultimately will only be found if I keep my ultimate end in view. And the ultimate end is life with God in heaven forever and sharing in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate end we should keep in mind. And then from there, go back to the very day we're in right now and say, how can I organize my life? How can I live? How can I set my heart and set my will and my mind on a pattern of life that's going to lead me by God's grace to that end? Jesus is giving it here. He's saying, seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness. That begins, friends, with an understanding that Jesus is a real king, and God has a real kingdom. And in the end, it's the only thing that will last forever. And that he's offering us salvation by coming under the authority and the lordship of the king and following him as he leads us. So having great loyalty to Jesus and believing in him, he said, set your heart on these things. Stop worrying about all that you don't have. Let this be your first concern, and your loving Father will provide you what you need. Now, you may not get everything you want. You're going to get what you need, but if you set your heart on the kingdom, you're going to receive what is in reality your heart's deepest longing. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus aligned us in the same way. The apostle said, Lord, teach us to pray. How should we pray? Jesus said, begin with orienting yourself to the Father. God is your Father. He's our Father collectively. We say yes to the family that he's building among us. Boy, what a dysfunctional and imperfect family, right? I mean, he's got nothing else to work with. But he loves us so much, and he wants to bring us into, ultimately, happiness. And Jesus said, so begin by being oriented to the Father. That's the starting point. And hallow and honor the Father's name. Obey him. Cherish that relationship. Walk as with a distinct identity as a son or a daughter of God, knowing that you're backed by a loving Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So right there, Jesus says, he orients us to the Father, and then he says, here's what you ought to pray, and here's what your passion should be. You should pray that his kingdom would come, the kingdom of the Father would come on earth as it is in heaven. His reign, his authority, his way of life, his economy, his plan and his purpose, that should be your passion for your life, for your family life, and the domain of responsibility that the Lord's given you. Right? Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. I want your will, Father. I want to walk in your will. That's the heart that Jesus wants to give you. That's his heart. He said he'd give you a new heart. That's the kind of heart you're going to have. That's the heart. That's the core of your heart. That's the movement that's there, friends. Receive that. Walk in it. Say yes to it. Seek it. And let the Lord make something beautiful out of your life. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.